God never makes mistakes. From the beginning, whenever that really was, He has been working out a well thought out, well devised, well developed, and developing as it continues on, beautiful plan of salvation. You see, God desires a family of beings that can enjoy life with Him on His terms forever. God knows the entire process He must use to produce the end product that He desires. And that's what He's doing. And He's working out the details. From beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, God's purpose is sure. Many people have been swayed into acting as if God has made mistakes or that God will make mistakes. Many people have been swayed into acting as if God does not have their best interest in mind. And many people also have been swayed into acting as if God may have changed His mind about His plan in midstream. Now we know who has instituted all of this. It came from Satan the devil. So today I would like to use one example to look at who God is in a more careful way. I'd like for us to turn our attention today to the Word of God that we call the Holy Bible. It is extremely common for English-speaking people to refer to the Bible in sections. For example, we call them the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some have even tried to redirect our phrasing or our thinking to being Old Covenant and New Covenant. Is there really an Old Covenant and a New Covenant? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the Bible is not equally to the Old and the New Covenants. Neither is the Bible to be Old and New Testaments. Without going into the technicalities of the words themselves, if you would just assume with me for a moment that what I'm saying is correct, that it is true, then what about the Bible? I mean, it does appear to be divided into two sections, right? Right. Well, if the sections are not actually testaments or covenants, then just how do we talk about the sections? Please understand, the two sections are actually one book. One book. From Genesis to Malachi, the way many modern Bibles order the writings, they do it from Genesis to Malachi or through Malachi. God gave His recorded word to His people. Genesis through Malachi was written down by the hands of a number of ancient Israelites. Holy men of God moved or wrote as the Spirit of God moved them. That's what 2 Peter tells us. Then we have Matthew through Revelation was written down by the hands of a number of Israelites also, with probably only one outstanding exception, and that would be Luke, who is the one who penned the books of Luke and Acts. Prior to the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's words told of God's plan in many details. Much of the recorded history and many prophecies from Genesis through Malachi relate to the first coming of God's anointed one, either directly or indirectly. For example, we can see in the first chapter of Matthew, it traces Christ's lineage all the way back to Abraham. This ties the old and the new together. It's a continuation. Are you aware, and probably most of you here are aware, that there are over 300 prophecies from Genesis through Malachi about the first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ? If you are aware that there are over 300 prophecies about the first coming of Jesus Christ, you're probably also aware that they were all fulfilled. Then after Jesus did come, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, after Jesus had finished his work on the earth as a human, the writings God inspired turn to describing who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do. So do you already see maybe where I'm going with this? They told about his coming, and then he came, and then they tell about what is going on. You know, what is he doing, who is he, and what's he going to continue to do? There are a variety of reasons why Jesus came in the flesh as he did. Let me share with you two or three of these. There are many, many more than two or three. Certainly one of the reasons that Jesus came was to reveal the Father. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 27. Matthew 11 in verse 27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So he came, one of the reasons that Jesus came as the Son was to reveal the Father. Another reason that Jesus came was to be a ransom for mankind so God's plan could continue on. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Again, so that the plan could continue on. Another reason that Jesus came was to preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Look with me in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. Luke 4, verse 43. "But he said," Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." There are many reasons. There are many reasons. Jesus fulfilled literally hundreds of prophecies. Yet, there are more prophecies from Genesis through Malachi about Jesus and his part of the master plan that still wait to be fulfilled. There are still things that are talked about in what we refer to as the Old Testament about the second coming. In fact, there are over 500 prophecies from Genesis through Malachi about Jesus' second coming. And then the writings from Malachi through Revelation now include for us additional information about God's master plan and additional prophecies about the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, Do we realize there really is no break in the continuation or the continuity of the Word of God? There really is no break. You see, when these holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote down as the Spirit moved them, they didn't say, oh, and by the way, this goes in the Old Testament. Or the holy men of God moved by the Spirit of God wrote down what we call the New Testament. They didn't say, oh, this should be included in the New Testament. How did we get the Old Testament and the New Testament? Man did it. You see, it's one book. Man put it chapters and verses. They put it in verses. They put it in headings, beginning, and all of those things before in many of the Bibles. Man did that. In fact, the man who was credited with having done that, his name was Stevens. His last name was Stevens. I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm not implying it's a bad thing at all. I'm just simply stating it's one book and it's a one continuation or one continuous story all the way through. So what we see is the Bible is not really a divided book. It is a unity book. There is one plan that has never changed. God created man for the purpose of bringing him into his family. God always existed. At a point in time, God changed his eternal future to create mankind to be in the family of God. It's always been the same plan. This plan is a continuation. And it's going to continue. And it's going to continue forever. In the one book that God gave to us. No, God did not make a mistake with the way he worked with his people prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. He has not changed his mind. For the sake of convenience, what was written from Genesis through Malachi, I want us to call, for the point of this sermon, I'd like for us to call that section of Scripture before Christ, or B.C. Scriptures. Just B.C. Scriptures. Because you see, those are not old or outdated words that humans can now disregard because God has a better plan. They're all part of the plan. They explain the plan. The BC scriptures are relevant today to understand God's purpose for mankind. We have to have those verses. We have to have them. They show the mind and purpose of God as valid today as ever. Consider with me for a moment how many times the writings after Christ, those writings after Christ, refer back to the BC scriptures. Jesus validated them over and over and over. Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, was taken out into the wilderness for the purpose to be tempted by Satan. And we have part of the story here. We have like an outline of it. And in Jesus' defense, if you want to use that word to Satan, what does he do? Quotes from those before Christ scriptures. Before he came scriptures. Man shall not do this. Man shall not do this. Don't tempt the Lord your God. He's reading. He's quoting. Jesus also made the statement that not even one small mark, jot or tittle, one small mark of those writings would pass away until all was fulfilled. At the time of his writing that, there were no jot and tittles. Currently, he's referring to those back there. We also know that much of those scriptures waits to be fulfilled because they have not yet been fulfilled. Paul, coming on to the church era, Paul and other writers after Jesus also validated the BC scriptures. In all, there are over 50 times where the new writings quote the BC scriptures. They also refer to Abraham directly over 60 times. I'm talking about what we refer to so that you don't misunderstand. I'm talking about what we refer to as the New Testament. I'm trying to get away from us using that. I'm talking about before Christ's verses and after Christ's verses, if you want to use it in that way. They refer to Abraham directly over 60 times. The writings refer to ancient Israelites over 70 times. David is mentioned and referred to directly over 50 times. Moses is referred to and referenced over 80 times, and on it goes, and I think you get the point. If they're not valid, why do the New Testament church writers refer to it? They're valid. Apparently, those who wrote after Jesus Christ did not think the BC scriptures to be irrelevant or passé. From Genesis to Revelation, God has recorded his purpose. True believers and followers of Jesus Christ will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a BC scripture. And Jesus quoted it. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written," and it comes from the book of Deuteronomy, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy says, "So shall man live." Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew 22 and verse 29, Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err," listen to this, "not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Brethren, let me ask you a question. What words or which words was Jesus referring to at that very moment? What scriptures? "You do err, not knowing the scriptures." What scriptures? Only the BC scriptures had thus far been created. What about the Bereans? In Acts 17, it says they proved the scriptures. Which ones? Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." What scriptures? Only the BC scriptures existed. Paul told Timothy that scriptures could make him wise unto salvation. Which ones? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Which holy scriptures? Only the BC scriptures existed at that time. What is written from Malachi through Revelation is the continuation of what God had already started to reveal about His plan. Let's read together, if you would, in the New, something that I take, that I believe absolutely ties the Old and New together, making it one. It's in the book of John, chapter 5, John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5. Verse 46 and 47 we will read. In verse 46, John 5, 46. And had you believed Moses? Now what he's talking about, had you believed Moses, he's talking about had you believed the first five books of the Bible. Had you believed the words that were holy scriptures, written by a man, inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit to write it down. That's what it says in what we call the New Testament. It says, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Jesus Christ doing the speaking. Verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, Moses' writings, how shall you believe my words? Ties it together. It's one book. It's one book. God knows the beginning from the end. God is Alpha and Omega. Revelation chapter 1 tells us that. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Brethren, please understand, and I certainly am not trying to imply that you don't understand and by saying it that way, but please understand, let's think about this. There is perfect beauty and continuity of His Word from Genesis through Revelation. Another question to ask and to consider, are there changes from BC Scripture since Christ has come? And the answer is, oh yes, absolutely. But understand this, God has not changed His mind. It is still for one purpose that it is all written down. The old and the new. It is to show the plan of salvation of God that He has for mankind. God has not changed His mind. Because you see, God always intended to deal with man's sin through a perfect sacrifice. Now today, at this time, this goes back to show you, are there changes from BC scriptures since Christ has come? And the answer is yes. To show you an illustration of that, since that time to now today, there is not a need for animal sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7. Go with me there. Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews 7, verse 27, who needs not daily as those high priests. Says they needed it. Back there in the BC scriptures, they needed the daily sacrifice of animals. That's what that's talking about. Let's go on. To offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, this is the priest, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. There was no need of his daily sacrifice. Now, Jesus came and he offered up himself once was all that was needed. All the other was a type and was a picture of what is going to happen. All part of the plan. Verse 28. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son who is consecrated forevermore. One time. Old Testament, as we typically would refer to it, shows there was the need of sacrifice for sins. They daily sacrificed the animals, all looking forward and picturing the coming and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he did it once. And since then, we don't need that. So were there changes since the BC scriptures? Yes. Yes. And this is just an example of it. And there certainly is also a transition going on even now. The old covenant made with ancient Israel is being done away. It is. But not the scriptures. Not the scriptures. And that's the point. And too many times what people do is they say, well, that's the old covenant. That was made with Israel. Therefore, we don't need this. Wrong. It's just a transition. The words, the scriptures are still there. They're symbolic, if nothing else. The Word of God lives and abides forever. God has made His glorious acts to be remembered. There are so many of the Psalms that state that. You can go through and you can pick up your Bible and probably open up the book of Psalms, any of them, and just start looking, and you're going to find that in some way, some form, on almost any page you pick up in the book of Psalms. You see that it's over and over and over. God made His glorious, His wonderful acts to be remembered, His mighty acts. He did them and He wrote them down, had them written down so we would remember the incredible acts of God, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's even yet going to do. And what He is doing in and through mankind is the high point of His creation up until this point. Now, make that statement and you could say, well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ came as a man. He is part of that also. An exceptional, obviously, man, you know, if you follow what I'm saying, slain from the foundations of the world as a God being, but then He emptied Himself and He came in the form of a man. We're following right behind, as it were, Jesus Christ, what He did. And so I make that statement again. What God is doing in and through mankind is the high point of His creation up to this point. Scripture also tells us that God tries and tests His word 7 different times. Go with me to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms, chapter 12, Psalm chapter 12. And let's read that in Psalm 12. In Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. God is going to preserve these words. And we're going to live by every word of God. I believe this to be a true statement that I'm going to make at this time. It could be stated that today we are God's writings, known and read of all men. Yes, we too are a continuation of what God began to write and reveal back in Genesis. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. What was the purpose of that? That mankind, from the creation of Adam, first man, and Eve, the first woman, from the creation of man forward, we were to become just like God. It's the plan. It's the plan. So we are a continuation of what God began back in Genesis. And it just moves forward. Let us go to the Word of God with a renewed interest. I want us to approach it with an absolute new interest, new thinking, realizing that the men, the writers of the Old Testament, the men and women who lived holy lives, who lived a life that glorified God, realized that men such as Job and Jeremiah and Ezra and all of the other books are part of God's revelation to man. We can go through those various books and we can go through those various scriptures in those books and we can see how they talk about how man is created like God to become like God. They may not say the exact words, but that's what they show. And it's found in every one of the books in some way or another. It's there. Some are much more obvious. Some are more by being inferred. But it's all the way through the book. It's a one continuous book. What I'm asking is that God would give each one of us a heightened sense of absolute awe and wonder at the Word of God, at the Bible. Looking at it in one sense, perhaps from a different perspective. When we start talking about it and we start doing it, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong in referring to Old Testament and New Testament. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not implying it's wrong. I'm saying, but if in our own mind's eye, if we think about it, when we think of the word old and anew, what do we tend to think of? The old is not as good as the new. It's worn out. It's worn down. I need to change it. Well, I've already changed it. I just hadn't thrown the old one out yet. I mean, isn't that the way that we as mankind tend to think? Not thinking that way. Think about it as one book. From Genesis through Revelation. Has one purpose, has one plan. Never changed. Never changed. In fact, I want to show you, go back with me to the book of Genesis. From the very beginning of man's creation and very shortly after that, man sinned. God tells us the prophecy all the way from the very beginning about the ultimate plan in the sense of what he is doing and how he's doing it through Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And he did. And then man sinned. And then we come to chapter 3. And man sinned. And then we come on down and God is dealing with mankind about what's going to happen. And then you come to verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put image between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the prophecy. It's the first stated prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ as being the Savior. And it's almost immediately after sin entered the world that he said, there's going to be a solution. There's this plan that I have. See, he stated it with us. We could just simply miss it in Genesis 1 and verse 26. Let's make man in our image after us. I mean, the implications of that is so huge. And then man sins, and they do. And then man sins, and so he separates himself from God. That's what he does. And whenever, you know, the being that we refer as Jesus Christ is walking in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve hid themselves, and he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he says, "We hid ourselves." We hid ourselves? They separated themselves from God. Wrong answer. But that's what man has done. They separated themselves from God. And then so God then brings them out and he says, "Hold it, wait a minute. I have this plan for you and I'm going to carry it through." Now I'm reading in, I'm taking license and I understand that. But that's what this is saying. And he says, "Now, in the meantime, Adam, this is going to happen. Eve, this is going to happen to you. And the serpent, this is what's going to happen to you. But I'm telling you what's going to happen is you're going to bring forth a seed. And that seed, of course, is referring to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one." And he says, "And that seed, oh, he's going to hit him. You know, he's going to be struck. It shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." It's the prophecy of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You have to put the whole book together to see that. But it's from the very beginning. It's one book. And it's a book about the salvation that God has for mankind. So again, I state what my prayer is for all of us is that we really get a bigger picture about the Word of God. That we have a bigger awe and respect and wonder at the Word of God. How this is all put together and what the end result is. And that we will simply tremble at the Word of God as never before. In the book of Isaiah in chapter 66, Isaiah 66 in verse 2, it says that, "For all those things have mine hand made, and all these things have been, says the Lord." You can read beforehand what it's talking about. "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word." Oh, and by the way, that's one of those BC scriptures. How much more so after Jesus Christ came would we do that? Because he painted the way. He showed the how of doing it. So what we see is the Word of God, the Holy Bible, tells us wonderful things about our wonderful God, of what he is doing. Do you remember how I've told you before that it's not really about us, it's about God? God is moving us along as part of his plan. He has this plan that we will become just like he is. He doesn't have a plan so that he will become just like we, but that we will become just like he is. It's a book that explains an incredible plan about an incredible being called God. I would also ask that each one of us would remember God's words from the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, if you go back there. In Amos 3, in verse 7. Because it ties in to what we're looking at today. In verse 7, Amos 3, verse 7. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets." All of these things that have been written down, he's going to do them. And before they happen, he's going to reveal them to his servants. That happens to be the church. So the church is going to know a lot of these things. And they're going to know these things before he actually carries out the different prophecies. I have this quote And I would credit the person who did the quote, but I simply don't have that. What I had was the quote. But I'm going to quote it, and it says, "The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed." And God isn't going to carry any of these prophecies that are yet to happen until He first reveals it to the church. It's a living book, this Holy Bible. It's one book where man put the divisions. But it's one book. It's a beautiful continuation of one plan, of the plan of salvation for mankind. And brethren, I believe there is so much more yet to be revealed. And I also believe it is clothed in mystery in the book God wrote to us.